All righty, we made it to the midweek. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, the 26th of August, 2015. On Wall Street, things looking good, but hey, it's not where the market is right now. It will be where it will be closing in about 90 minutes. Can that 400 plus on the north side, can that continue? Let's hope so. So maybe a positive after six really kind of gruesome sessions on Wall Street. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming. Is it buckmastershow.com and on the station's fine website, kvoi.com. We have our podcasts and all of our shows archived for you, so you can listen 24/7 on your schedule anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. We'll get things rolling with a newsmaker interview with the Ward 4 Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott. Then we'll be talking about the changes in name with the Tucson Economic Developer Trio, now known as Sun Corridor. Then a preview of UA Wildcat football with sports guy Anthony Jimeno. The live line number 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. There was a primary election in the city of Tucson yesterday, and considering there were no contested elections, 14.4% turnout, really not too bad compared to what an average turnout would be of 12.7%. The lowest turnout in recent years was in 2005, when only 7.5% of registered Tucson voters cast their ballots. So the election setup is now ready, in place. Democrat Rahina Romero will seek a third term in Ward 1. She's challenged by Republican Bill Hunt. Paul Cunningham, the incumbent Democrat in Ward 2, faces Kelly Lawton, and five-term Councilwoman Shirley Scott is facing Vail School Board member Margaret Burkholder in the Ward 4 race. And speaking of Councilwoman Scott, she joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Councilwoman, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank goodness we've had some rain, but unfortunately it's hurt some people. My goodness.
Yeah, we've had some really violent storms, haven't we, this monsoon
Absolutely.
Season?
And out in this area in particular, the southeast side, some of the homes were affected adversely by palm tree getting on, hit by lightning and that kind of thing. That's always quite dangerous.
And we had some windows blown out, actually,
yes.
by lightning yesterday.
Yes.
So it's been a very, very, a lot of rain, but some kind of frightening storms to go with it. So we are ready now to think about the general election. We have a group that has been led by Republican activists Frank Antonori and Christine Bowserman, who have taken out those billboards that I'm sure Shirley Scott and you and others have seen, 40
yeah.
billboard ads asking questions about you and the other incumbents' performance. What do you think of those billboards?
Well, generally, they are making incorrect statements, and it really hurts the city of Tucson's reputation. You know, if we're trying on our side to create a great positive atmosphere for business, new people coming in, considering this a place to live and work and play, it does not help to have negativity hit the headlines or hit the billboards and making statements that are just, in most cases, completely untrue. And I think that hurts the city of Tucson regardless of anything else. I think the city of Tucson, we, the mayor and council, are moving forward with trying to create a very positive attitude about Tucson. As you know, we've had some pretty hard times, lots of economic downturn and some negativity because of certain rulings out of the state legislature. And we're trying to overcome that by saying, no, 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 this is a great place, and you ought to come and see us. The people are great. The atmosphere for building is great. It's a good place to be, and I think it really would be helpful if we had some actual statements that were more true than not out there.
Is this a better place right now than it was 4 years ago when you were seeking re-election?
I think it really is, because as you recall, several years ago, when I was running, there was a lot of hoopla about Rio Nuevo, how bad it was, the streetcar was a disaster, things were going downhill, everything was being wasted, that kind of thing. Well, the truth is that when Rio Nuevo was audited, and it was audited more than one time, every single nickel, dime, and dollar was audited, and there was a published financial report that is available to the public, accurately describing what happened to any and all of those dollars. And then since then, there has been a great relationship with the Rio Nuevo Board and the City of Tucson and partners to actually create a better atmosphere and better things going on. As you know, the Rio Nuevo Board has been a very important part of the partnership with the City of Tucson. We now have them saying that they have invested $6 million in the convention center. They've invested over $1 million in the Mission Gardens. They've got $2.2 million in bond payments that they're making. We have a really great relationship now as opposed to what it used to be in the old days. And for those who were the naysayers about the streetcar, certainly the success of the streetcar, modern-day streetcar, has been very evident to those who were skeptical at first that much good would come of it. They've had over 1 million riders. There's been all kinds of great involvement of the business community downtown to the tune of creating new jobs, new places to be. It's just the up-and-coming, much better atmosphere this time around than it was.
Councilwoman Shirley Scott with us on the Buckmaster Liveline, and so is caller John. John would like to bring up red light cameras. Go ahead, John.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Councilwoman, I'm a little bit concerned that the red light camera initiative is going to negatively affect the charter change initiative. I was curious what your thoughts were about that dynamic, and is there going to be a campaign to promote voting yes for the charter changes? Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call, John. I do know that at this point, because there was a petition drive to get this on the referendum, to get it on the ballot, it's now up to the public. What I may say about it one way or the other is perhaps interesting, but the public now will have the opportunity to vote that up or down. A lot of people feel that these so-called red light cameras were out there to make money for the city. Actually, the primary reason was to halt the number of fatal injuries at certain very serious and busy intersections in the city. And the statistics prove that they have actually reduced the number of fatalities and accidents at those particular busy intersections. So that's just a fact that is out there. I don't know, by the way, if anyone is going to fund a pro or a con argument actively in the community regarding this ballot measure. So it's up to the people now.
And how do you feel personally about the red light cameras?
Well, I think that there is a great deal to be said for it. It does not generate the kind of money people fantasize about it. The money that goes into it goes to the private enterprise, which is a small bit, which is a business, goes to them, but a percentage, of course, would come to the city. But what happens is there is a camera that reviews what goes on in an intersection. And before that ticket is sent out, it is reviewed by the police department to see if, in fact, it's accurate. And so there's a double view, if you will. There's the view of the camera that snaps the photo, and then a police officer, because I've been in that situation where, and that's the site where the police officer sits and reviews each and every one of these. And when there is an infraction of the traffic laws, then that ticket is sent out. And statistically, it proves that people's lives have been saved, and it's a better thing, although I know it's an annoyance to people who keep getting them. But long before those so-called red light cameras were set up, this city was known as one of the worst cities for people running red lights. They just did. And I think that number has been reduced. So I think there is merit in considering the value of the safety that it provides.
And as far as the charter changes, there are two questions, correct, about the charter on the ballot?
Yes. There are. One is to give the mayor full voice and a vote. And right now, our mayor is a tiebreaker. He can vote, and he does vote on everything. But if three of us say yes and three of us say no, he would be the so-called tiebreaker currently. And he is not considered to be part of a quorum if three council members are standing around talking and he walks in. He does not constitute the violation of the open meeting law. That will change if this particular proposal passes. He will then have a vote that is a weighted vote. It will count more heavily than it has, and he will be considered a part of a quorum. So two council members and a mayor could stand and chat, but another one couldn't join in at all. The second thing that's happening is the city manager will have more authority to remove department directors and appointed officers. And all department directors and appointed officers shall be at will, except the police chief and the fire chief. And then there are three offices that are actually appointed by the city council, and that's the city manager, the city clerk, city attorney, and the city magistrates. Those are all under the direct purview of the council. But the city manager will be able to have more say in the actual directors of each department than he has at this time.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Shirley Scott will stay over during the break and be with us for another segment. We'll be right back Wednesday on Buckmaster. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is now 12:20 on this Wednesday afternoon in Tucson. Shirley Scott is with us, the Ward 4 Democratic Councilwoman. Shirley, what is the situation with the transit strike? This thing is now going on, I don't know, we're in the 3 weeks? Yeah, 3 weeks of this. It's one of the longest transit strikes, I think, in Tucson history. What are you hearing?
Well, you know, as you know, we are not allowed to get directly involved. I mean, I can see the picketing as well as anybody. I certainly wish that the parties involved could sit at the table and work it out. That's the answer. I don't know if there is any hope that that will happen today within the next hour, but I certainly wish and hope strenuously that all parties should sit at the table, discuss their issues, and come up with a reasonable solution. I know that there are some demands on the part of each side that say, look, you know, one side says, look, we just don't have this kind of money, and the other side says, we just demand this kind of thing anyway, and if you're not going to come up with more money, then that's my understanding. So generally, I would say it's too bad they seem to not be willing to both sit at the table. I think that other members of the city management have encouraged the parties to sit at a table and work it through, because that's really going to be the way it is ending. So it's unfortunate for the people who are hurt the most. Those are the bus riders. There are 19 million trips per day taken by people going to and from work and annually, and I think that that's really the folks who are most affected. The ridership are the people of this city, and they say they are hurting. They've told us that very clearly. I just hope that the parties involved will come together and make this thing work out so that we can get back to business.
You know, getting back to those billboards questioning you and the other two incumbents who are standing for re-election, one of them has to do with the condition of our roads. How would you characterize the road condition right now?
Well, you know, it's very funny to say such a thing when over about 250 miles of repairs and or pavement renewal has been done already on time and under budget with more on the way. And that's the amount of road that has been fixed is comparable, basically, to driving from Tucson to Prescott on a newly paved road. Thousands of potholes have been repaired. And it's an incorrect accusation. It's my understanding one of those billboards actually faces one of the construction zones where they are improving the actual road. That's makes it rather interesting.
All right. Let's go back to the live line. Dan has a question for Shirley Scott. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hi, thank you. Yeah, at church on Sunday, our priest brought out the fact that our tax money is going through the Democrat Party supporting Planned Parenthood, and he said that you are supporting this killing of babies, and now they're shipping baby heads all around the country. How does the Democrat Party, how can I vote for a Democrat if you're supporting that?
Okay, Dan, thanks.
I'm not aware of there being baby heads being sent around the country. I think that's overstating it. And I believe the Planned Parenthood folks have also disavowed their doing these things. It is illegal as heck. And so I would think they would not want to jeopardize their values in that way by doing something illegal. You know, they provide more services than what has been touted as the only service. They give great service to those who are in poverty, and they can get free stuff from them with regard to cervical cancer. They will do screenings for different illnesses. It's a very good organization for other things, and I know people are sort of fixated on the one thing, but I know that they do an awful lot of good in providing good health services otherwise to people who are genuinely in need and have an absolute need, money-wise, to have some of these medical services provided.
Okay, let's go back to the live line. Harry would like to bring up again and re-entertain the question. I think it's Harry Alexander, our own Harry Alexander.
Yes, it is.
Talk about roads.
Yes.
Go ahead, Harry.
Yes, it is, Bill. Thank you for taking my call. Shirley, I would really like to understand why the city council has not properly budgeted to make sure that roads, and I'm going over potholes right now, why roads have not been maintained as they should be. That is a role of government, to maintain the infrastructure, and this city council has not done that. Can you explain that, please?
Sure. How about the fact that a lot of the money that we get for roads does not necessarily come from the local people. It is generated here through HERF money, through the lottery money.
What was that? I think we lost Shirley there.
No.
No, you're still
there.
Still here. Okay. All right.
No, I'm still here. I'm
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Sorry, that is an excuse that is used by so many politicians who have shirked their responsibility for proper budgeting to maintain the infrastructure of our city.
Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, sir, and that's because the lottery actually gets, for this specific thing, for local money, they receive, for as part of what they get $177 million. And of that, $11 million is to be used statewide for mass transit. The HERF money that's generated is also sent to the state, and the state legislature has actually swept, and with no hope of returning, any of the lottery money that we had generated here that went there, that they used to balance their budget, which is a fact.
Okay.
And that's true of HERF money. The other thing that could happen is the state could increase the gas tax. They won't do that either.
Ms. Scott, then why did the city not properly budget to take care of a lack of so-called HERF money? It seems that the city has spent money on projects that are not needed, because they do not call to maintain the infrastructure. Why not reprioritize the budget so that the roads are the way they're supposed to be?
Okay, Harry, we're going to let you go and let Shirley finish up there, because I'm running out of time.
Okay, the best I could say is about 90% of the money to fix roads comes from taxes collected by the state and redistributed to local government. When the state continues to cut the distribution to local governments, and in the absence of a permanent new funding source, borrowing will have to continue to be the method of funding new and existing roads. A continuing success story is, by the way, Proposition 409, a five-year city road bond approved by the voters in November, and that has produced $20 million a year in order to pave these roads. We finally have a funding source for the pavement of roads. And yes, I agree, there are lots of roads that need to be paved still, lots of things still to be done, but I think the majority of the folks that I've been talking to, at least out here, are very satisfied that many of the roads are being addressed, and they know that more will be approved and repaired soon.
How are you voting on the bond questions, the seven bond questions?
I vote aye.
You vote yes on all seven?
I vote yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this committee that worked so diligently for 18 months or more to come to the final conclusion of what the projects would be to present to the public, I think they've done heroic work, should be given some sort of accolade from lots of folks for their tenacity and for their ability to see the bigger picture. It is well worth our investment of $1.21 per person per year to invest in ourselves. I think it's a very good project, and I'm all for it.
All right, Shirley Scott, thank you very much for being with us. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and try to stay cool.
I will, and thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Shirley Scott with us on The Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:30 on this midweek edition of Buckmaster. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. Be right back.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman for Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, we've had the same technician at our house for 11 years, and he's wonderful. But you know what? What does that tell you about the company? It tells you it's a great company who treats their people right. And they treat us customers great. I wouldn't use anybody. Truly, truly, listen to me. But Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
In Arizona Stadium to experience the thrill of the 2015 Arizona football season. Be there for the big hits, miracle catches, and game-winning field goals. Be there as your Wildcats make history and march towards a Pac-12 championship. Be there to create priceless memories with family, friends, and fellow fans.
The home opener is Thursday, September 3rd versus UTSA. Tickets start at $12 for adults and $7 for kids. Call 621-CATS or visit arizonawildcats.com/UTSA.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
All righty, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Wednesday afternoon. This summer, the Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, known as TREO, changed the brand and name of the organization, expanding its footprint across southern Arizona, changing its name to Sun Corridor, Inc. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, the president and CEO of Sun Corridor, Inc., Joe Snell. Mr. Snell, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. So, 10 years with TRIO, building a strong foundation for economic development in the community. So why change the name? Why a new brand?
Well, a lot of reasons went into it. For some time, TRIO has been basically providing economic development support for the entire Southern Arizona mega region, really for the past several years. And, you know, advocating for military installations, including Fort Huachuca. We've established new foreign trade zones outside of Pima County, in Pinal, for example. So we've been doing a lot of that. So in some ways, this was really catching up to the reality of who we have become over the last 10 years or so.
Go ahead.
So the leadership of TRIO recognized that, you know, that we had a really, combined with what we were and that we had a significant opportunity to coalesce basically one market under a unified brand. Because one of the challenges is that, you know, we were all coming at this different, and we had an opportunity to leverage one brand, one opportunity, and speak unified. So that's what really led to this pivot, if you will.
And you're taking a bi-national position, correct?
We are. For years, we've really struggled with, as a region, and maybe in Arizona as a whole, of what does that opportunity mean with our strong partners to the south in Mexico? And there's no doubt that Mexico is becoming an economic superpower with a lot of the nearshoring that's occurred in the last few years. And what does that really mean for us? So it just made a lot of sense that we would... you know, if we're gonna expand, it had to be with really one market, which we're tied to northern Mexico in so many ways, separated by one border. So yes, binational is really what we think is an important step in that it coalesces this one market and harnesses the strengths of southern Arizona, but the emerging strengths of Mexico.
Going back, Joe, to the name change, Sun Corridor. I'm sure you kicked around other names as well, but this seemed to fit what you and your board members felt was really where the organization was going and the mission.
Well, yeah, Sun Corridor was a moniker that was identified actually several years ago out of Philadelphia to describe this position of you know, Prescott to the north all the way through northern Mexico. And we have looked at that brand. Michael Crow with ASU actually introduced us to that brand a few years ago, and he was the guest speaker at TRIO's annual meeting. And it just seemed to fit us, a way to identify us. We're more than just Tucson. We're the you know, the surrounding areas. And we did some focus groups on this, and it seemed to resonate very well for the national site selectors, real estate folks across the country. So it seemed like a no-brainer to you know, we're not the Sun Corridor, we're Sun Corridor Inc., and we delineate that because we're going to serve really everything south of Maricopa County. We're a portion of it, but we thought it was a catchy moniker, and we think it'll get some play.
And you had to have your partners buy into it, Pinal County, correct, Joe Snell?
Well, yes, Pinal County. We've over the last few years have added some key players to represent, like I say, a true regional, mega regional approach. The Pinal County is an active player in it. We've added representatives from Santa Cruz County, from Cochise County. So, you know, the reality is we're like I said, we're more than the Tucson region. We're really Southern Arizona.
What can this kind of combined super region do to improve our talent pool? You're going to obviously now, I guess, try to draw from a larger talent pool, which hopefully will increase the competitiveness, correct?
Well, yes. And there's a few things it's going to do, talent being one of them. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to strengthen the collective assets to be able to compete in Southern Arizona. So, talents being one of those that we realize that if there's a project that happens in the in Pinnell, you know, the Pinnell Air Park, for example, we look at a project there. Maybe in the past we would have sort of stopped at the Pima line. Well, it's all the same market opportunity, and frankly, you know, Pinnell sees it that most of the labor force might come out of Marana. So it will strengthen the talent pool. And previously, Pinnell County might have sold just their labor force within their county borders, and we might have sold just the stuff in Pima borders. Now we're looking at market share across the with border, you know, with no borders blocking that. It's a market territory.
How does this affect the region's economic blueprint that you all have put together?
Well, the drivers, you know, discussed in the blueprint are still valid. Example, those industries that drive our future, biotech, aerospace, still very, very valid to this point. We will, over time, look at our surrounding areas and see if we need to supplement that. And we're already starting to gear up for some of that. One of the things we are looking at is we're doing an asset inventory, mapping the assets of our surrounding counties, because there's some uniqueness in these different areas. But the blueprint will still be our main driver. It's still valid. We just updated it a couple years ago. With this in mind, so we think it's good to go.
How do you see now the competitiveness in this whole economic development scene? It's a pretty cutthroat business, isn't it?
It is. It is. Well, you know, I think marketing ourselves binational opens the door for some opportunities we haven't seen before. You know, in research, development, manufacturing, supply chain, all of that stuff. And so I think it offers some great opportunities for us. But it also does some other things that I think will help our competitiveness. First and foremost, we get to speak with a greater voice at the state and federal level. So when we look at stuff like infrastructure, in the past we might have come out, Pima County would have a request for some infrastructure out of the federal government, Santa Cruz County might. We can come with one voice, and it gives us a lot more muscle when we go in the federal government to say, this is what we need, and it's all tied together. So we think that's going to really help us compete. So we're, the other thing is it allows us to align partnerships to reduce duplication so that, you know, we're not all chasing the same company. We can, for a limited dollar, we can all share that cost and be much more cost effective in it. So we think it's going to help long term our competitiveness in so many ways.
Speaking with Joe Snell, he is the president and CEO of Sun Corridor, Inc., which is the new name for Trio. Our friend Jim is on the live line and has a question. Jim Kelly would like to speak with Mr. Snell. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. Listen,
hi, Jim.
Within the blueprint, where does the airport district and all of that undeveloped land fall in terms of what's available, what are the best business mixes for that corridor? Not talking, you know, from Nogales Highway to Wilmot on Valencia. And secondly, what can be done about I-10 and 4th Avenue in the city of South Tucson? The city of South Tucson needs to diversify its revenue generation. What can you do for them?
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Let me address the first question. The blueprint has went into the blueprint, at least the last update, was recognizing that connectivity is the key to our future. And we're a little bit behind the eight ball in connecting markets, whether that be Mexico or just within this market of moving goods and services. So we do have to address that, and that and could be issues like I-11, which we're advocating for. We don't want to be bypassed through the next interstate play, probably having to solve some of our issues on our own, because as most people know, the federal highway system doesn't have any money. The airport, really critical issue for us, and we're working through Pima County and the Tucson Airport Authority. You know, it's our port. We don't have an ocean port, but it is our port, and we have to figure out, and I don't know if we have it all figured out, but that's a key thing. Many companies want to be near Raytheon, and so we're putting a lot of effort into advocating for this Sonoran Parkway and the buffer. You know, the county did a good job, took care of Raytheon and providing a buffer against intrusion. But we have an opportunity to create a business park down there, and there's many examples of how we can leverage that. These defense companies want to be in close proximity, and we have to have it ready to go and be able to move quickly with it. So that'll be our priority with that. The second issue, I'm not quite tracking on the South Tucson. All I'd say is South Tucson's an important piece of this, but we can no longer build roads that go from four lanes to three lanes to two lanes. They have to connect from point A to point B and flow and make sense on a market standpoint. So I don't know specifically. That's a good question. We should turn to one of our partners like PAG to understand, to get a better feel specifically in South Tucson of what the issues are, but I can't address that too much.
All right, Joe Snell, thank you very much, CEO and president of Sun Corridor Incorporated. And your new website will reflect that name as well, correct?
It will, yes. We are in the process of actually launching this new brand internationally and nationally, mm-hmm. Because we got to make sure the decision makers out there across the country and really globally understand what Sun Corridor Inc. is and who we represent and get in the game.
All right. Thanks, Joe Snell, for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Joe Snell with us on The Buckmaster Show. 12:45 now, this portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They have a lot of activities coming up in September, Saturday of Labor Day weekend. It's a taste of downtown Silver City. They've got some great restaurants. They've been written up in the New York Times. Then coming up, Pick-a-Mania the following weekend is a great festival of music, and it's free. So check it out, 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and wonderful places to stay in the area like Casitas de Gila guest houses, and you can check out the website southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, a newsmaker interview with TUSD Superintendent Dr. H.D. Sanchez, followed by a conversation with the nation's top wildfire expert, Dr. Stephen Pine. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with Anywhere in the World live streaming, podcasts, and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to Buckmaster. Anthony Jimeno with us on the live line, a sports journalist who has at least two decades covering UA athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star and TucsonCitizen.com, and most recently, sports content provider for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. He's co-writer and co-author of a book on Arizona basketball titled 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He is also the host of Wildcats basketball pre- and post-game shows on AM 1290 The Fan. Anthony, how are you?
Good. It sounds like I'm busy.
It does sound like you're busy, and you are very busy, especially this time of year. We've got the opener with the University of Texas San Antonio. Thursday night game a week from tomorrow, believe it or not. Hard to believe.
It is crazy. It comes up in a hurry. I mean, and that's why, from an Arizona perspective, and this being Rich Rodriguez's fourth year, is everybody knows what to expect. Everybody knows what to do. And they were able to just jump right into practice once fall camp began early this month. So there's not a lot of lost time trying to teach things all over again. You know, they literally just throw the balls out and they're ready to go. And because it does come so fast, and once it starts, then it just, the accelerator's on the floor for the next 11 weeks because they played 12 games in 12 weeks. It'll be fast and furious.
It's a brutal, brutal stretch there. No buys. And the preseason, AP puts the Wildcats in the top 25, and it's the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, but that you have ASU and the UA both in the AP top 25, and it's been quite a few years since that has happened.
That's a new one on me, but that sounds right because it's Arizona's first appearance in the preseason poll since 1999 when they were in the top five. And that didn't end up so well.
Was that the Sports Illustrated cover year?
No, that was 1994.
Oh, 94.
Which turned out okay. But that was the year there was a lot of hype in 99 based on what Arizona had done in 1998, which was go 12-1 to beat Nebraska in the Holiday Bowl. And then in 99, Arizona opened at Penn State.
Yes.
for a big TV appearance and just got sent home with their tail between their legs that year. And for ASU, I believe they're 15, I think.
Yeah, 15th.
And that's the highest ASU has ever been in the preseason poll since they joined the Pac-10 in 1978, along with Arizona. So it's exciting, I think, from a rivalry perspective. The programs have kind of taken turns being good and being bad, riding the roller coaster. This is one of the really rare eras where both programs are pretty good at the same time. So that's very exciting for the rivalry.
And how do the Cats look? Did they survive the camp without major injuries?
They're a little dinged up. Their projected starting center, or at least the guy who was the front runner, he got hurt early in camp, and he'll miss the season. So that forced some shuffling on the offensive line. One of their starting cornerbacks from last year hasn't really practiced much, which is going to open up some opportunities for some young guys. So they're a little banged up. Nothing, you know, the quarterback is intact. Their star running back is intact, and their star wide receiver is intact. Scooby Wright looks fantastic, a linebacker. So the principles are all in place for the opener. But they are, like most teams, dealing with some bumps and bruises along the way.
I think we can agree that the Pack 12 is incredibly strong this year, and it's almost to the point where pretty much anyone can beat anybody else, maybe with the exception of Colorado.
The Pac-12 South is absolutely loaded, and it doesn't say much if you make the claim that, hey, it's the best the Pac-12 South has ever been. Well, it's only the fourth or fifth year of the league in Division IV, but you know what I'm saying, that this collection of teams, USC, UCLA, Arizona State, Arizona, Utah, those five teams out of the six, discounting Colorado, as you mentioned, they're all in somebody's top 25 in the preseason, and they're all top 25 caliber. Now, they may not all get the results they think they deserve by the end of the year, because now they can't all win games when they're playing each other, but it's going to be extremely competitive. And then in the North Division, I think you still have Oregon, you still have Stanford, who I think is, again, top 25 worthy. So more than half of the league, you could really make the case that they deserve to be in the top 25. So it's a very deep league. It's really good at the top and also pretty good at the bottom. And I think that's really what makes a competitive league, is how deep you go and how hard you have to fight week after week.
You know, it's kind of weird opening up on a Thursday night, but I guess that's just part of college football being determined by television and the time that the games start. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of a crowd, opening night crowd, the Cats will draw on a Thursday night.
Yes, you're correct. TV dictates everything, and then sometimes playing on a Thursday night gets you some more eyeballs. The Thursday night game will be on the Pac-12 networks, the game next week. But as another example of TV, a couple weeks after that, when Arizona is home against NAU, that game starts at 8 o'clock on a Saturday. So it is the way of the world, and you know, I don't think it's Arizona's preference. It's not Arizona's fault that game's going to start at 8 o'clock, which is really late. But we see it more and more. We've seen it last year. We've seen games start at 11 a.m. It's all the universities are at the whim of the TV networks because of the cash.
Let me ask you about something that first surfaced a few months ago about a bowl game in Tucson. Of course, we had the Copper Bowl for many years here. I was sorry that went away, but economics mm-hmm. dictated that. Have you heard any more about it? We are sanctioned, are we not, for a bowl game?
I believe the NCAA did sanction the bowl,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have to ask somebody else about this one. I think I'm not sure it's going forward
okay.
for this year.
I just wondered.
Just because it was sanctioned doesn't mean there were a
right.
couple bowls across the country that were approved, but they just may not be ready. And I wish I had an answer for you, Bill. I haven't been following it, but I'm not sure. I haven't heard a lot about it, certainly, since that happened. So I don't know the status of that.
Well,
but it'd be great to have it. We should have a bowl in Tucson. You look at everybody else. Everybody else has a bowl. The stadium is more fantastic than it's ever been. And you would still think this is a great destination.
Well, I think it is, and I think eventually we will get the bowl, but as you say, being sanctioned is one thing. Now it of course will depend on will there be a corporate sponsor and putting the whole thing and the financial thing together. That could take years, but I think at least the preliminary groundwork has begun, and I think that is good for our community.
I think so. I mean, I did enjoy the Copper Bowl, Insight Bowl, whatever, you know, that mm-hmm. went through various iterations, but there are so many bowls across the country.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up, Anthony. Your prediction now for the Cats, the win-loss record, please.
I'm going to go, if I could pick 8.5 wins, I would, but I'll go 9.
9?
9. Mm-hmm. If you ask me in a week or two, I may go 8.
Okay, who do the Cats lose to real quickly?
Oh, probably the maybe Stanford, UCLA, USC. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's as we talked about, the league is so deep that they're going to lose to maybe even somebody they shouldn't, who's actually pretty good. But I think I would expect a lot of close games just like last year.
All right, Anthony Jimeno, we'll be looking for your work certainly at TucsonNews.com. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill.
Anthony Jimeno with us on the Buckmaster Show. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw coming up this afternoon from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, and then the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. And I'll be back with you for Thursday on Buckmaster at 12:04 along with Ed Alexander. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.